just that I wish the puppets would talk more about the alphabet. Not for me, but if any kids are watching, A, B, and so forth, you know, MNLO, P, F.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Hello, folks. This is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Kuntz, host of this here program, this time, always, and forever. Check us out 6:15 Sundays on Radio St. Pete, 10:15 Mondays, and 4:15 a.m. in the morn on Tuesday. You can also catch us on podcast anytime at hmbradio.com. You can find James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast and many more to come, including this here program. So check out Sly Bar every second and fourth Tuesday for the stand-up comedy open mics. We got $50 cash prize there for best comic of the night. And there's also Thursdays at Yard of Ale. So come check us out there. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Pete. And also be sure to hit them up on the internet, Facebook, all that, slybar.com, facebook.com/slybarstpete. Make sure you like this Facebook page, HMB Radio, and on Twitter. You can find me Instagram as well. It's home_made_man. You can find me. If you want to get in touch with the show, call in 813-693-2124. You can leave a text message. You can leave a phone call. And, yeah, I suggest you do that. Call in. Let's talk. I'm trying to get Skype set up so I can actually, like, take some calls. I think that's the new way to do it. I bought a iPad thing, but it's not an iPad. It's a tablet is what you call it. It's the Amazon tablet. It was on sale on Amazon for $50, and I was like, oh, awesome, because I wanted to have my phone so I could do stuff with my phone when I was recording, since I record on my phone. You can't really do stuff while you're recording. So I bought the tablet, only to find out that any of the apps that I need to record are not on the Amazon operating system. So basically, I wasted $50, but it's kind of neat to have a backup, and there's Skype on it. And I can't run Skype on my computer because it's a Google Chromebook. So now I'll be able to run Skype and take calls that way. Because I've done phone interviews on the Google Hangout thing, and there's a little bit of a delay, which is really annoying. So it's really hard to talk that way. So I don't know if Skype's any better or not. I don't have any experience with it. So, I'm looking forward to that. I had a small victory this week, which I feel obligated to talk about. I work in a small office. It's a house front, regular house setup. And we work with this nice old lady. There's four of us that work in there. My two bosses, and then there's a lady that works in there, and then myself. So in this, she's a really sweet woman, and I really love her a lot. She's become like a second mom. But she also, in her older age, she can be kind of a jerk and not really know. I don't think that she is a jerk. So what she'll do is drop 65-year-old woman bombs in the toilet at work and then just leave the door open. So all that becomes part of our air that we breathe out in the office. And it's really – I put up with it for five solid years, and I decided that a couple weeks ago I wasn't going to take it anymore. And I always knew it was happening because she would, you'd hear the door close, and then it'd be like 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden you'd hear just this spray, right? So it's like not just a quick blast or two, but it's a 10 seconds at least of solid spray that's coming out of this nozzle. And that's when you knew. And I would just prepare myself, and if I was going to eat my lunch, I would just wait another hour until everything was back to normal. But I said, you know what? No, I'm not doing this anymore. It's been 5 years. I'm taking a stand. So what I started doing is after I heard the spray, I went and shut the door. And initially, she would walk by, oh, why is this closed? And open it again. But I'd stay strong and go right back there and close it again. And I forget what it's called with classic conditioning, I guess, right? Today, I heard the spray. I went to get up to close the door. And then when I reached the door, already closed. I think she's got it, folks. This is very exciting that I don't have to smell 65-year-old woman dumps in my office. 5 years is way too long. And I finally took a stand, and it finally happened. I'm stoked. I hope you are. That's my story. I hope you're at least semi-happy for me. I know this really doesn't matter to you, of course. But to me, it means the world. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Anywho, what else do I have to tell you? I have a guest this week. His name is Carlo Tamarit, I believe his name is. I met him at the Small Business Expo a couple weeks ago. He is a local author. He just published the book, which is available on Amazon, called Miracle Man, Dawn of the Age of Heroes. So he's going to tell us about that. Did I already say, yeah, Slybar, all that. Got all that out of the way. So let's get to our guest. Let's do it. All right, Carlo, welcome to the Homemade Broadcast. I think I said your name wrong. Carlo Tamarit.
Yes, Carlo Tamarit.
Tamarit. Damn it, just did it again.
That's all right.
It takes me three times, usually. Three. It's really bad because I wish I could just have it down, right? That's a big thing, getting names right, you know, especially in the world of business or doing anything. So I constantly say people's names wrong. I run an open mic at Slybar, and there's this kid, Tyler Horvath. I think I got it right now.
There you go.
And I've called him Hovarth 15 to 20 times, and he's such a nice guy that he just takes it. And I'm like, that was right, right? No, it wasn't right. Well, just tell me.
If I may say, there's about a couple of ways to pronounce my name. I mean, the first way, Carlo Tamarit.
Yep.
Done. Or you can say it as my dad does, Carlo Tamarit. Or if you really want to go, I guess, basic, Carlo Tamarit.
That's the white guy way of doing it. I think that's why
I didn't want to say that actually, because I don't want to, you know, insult or anything like that. You know, I'm coming on your show and
I don't find that insulting at all. I mean, there are just basic things that are true.
You know,
you can't get mad at, and it's the English language. We make it as easy as possible and we just say it the way it's spelled.
Exactly.
It's just getting consolidating time, man.
Although I will give you some credit. At least you didn't call me Carlos. A lot of people, when they first meet me, right, I tell them Carlo Tamarit. And for some reason, the majority of them, like around 90% of people that I've met, call me Carlos right off the bat, which is perfectly fine. And then as a joke, sometimes, you know, I'll let people just keep saying that until someone, you know, usually their friends, like, no, dude, that his name is Carlo. There's no S. And they look at me funny, like, wait a second, what? And you've been letting me call you Carlos this entire time. I go, well, yeah, I figure we'll get it eventually.
That's what Tyler does to me all the time. Like, just please tell me. I feel bad.
I know. But from my perspective, I mean, I don't do that because I don't want to make the other person feel bad. You know, all I care about, I want to get their name right, and they're eventually going to get my name right. The only time I would get, I guess, a little bit frustrated is if I'm on the phone with someone, right, and they have no relation to me whatsoever. Okay, and they just, like, set me off. Usually it's some kind of customer service thing, right? And they keep calling me Carlos, and I just lose it. And it goes, I guess that's not really a good thing to do. But when I'm in front of people, I just have a tendency to go with the flow and mellow out and give them the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I kind of feel like that might be a problem with society, though, is that nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings. So we're not getting things, we're not getting to the truth. We're letting things slide so much that things are getting so wacky now just because. Because I have a, there's a, I think it's a myth mm-hmm. that people are really intolerant nowadays and that people are, you know, racist or sexist or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the complete opposite, that people are so tolerant that they've accepted intolerance to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit a point there, actually. And it's kind of funny that you bring that up is, you know, you're talking about different points of view and you're talking about people's acceptance levels and trying to walk on a situation where you're walking on eggshells, where you don't want to come off the wrong way. And then what people end up doing is they start hiding behind certain things and they stop being really honest and factual. Like, for instance, I could eventually go up to someone that I've known for a while and just call them a complete whatever because I developed that relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Okay? But at the same time, I wasn't able to do that before because I wanted to tell this person this. I wanted to get that across to them, but I didn't want to hurt their feelings as well. But at the same time, if they weren't changing their behavior and they kept going on and on like this, after a while, I was like, you know what? No. You've brought up a good point. You know, people are just afraid of being honest and being real with each other. And the thing about it is that we don't want to hurt someone else.
Right.
Okay? Because we're afraid of how people might perceive us. Okay? I could call someone blankety blank blank blank, even if it's actual fact. But if I were to say it in a calm terminology, okay, I might end up rubbing them off the wrong way because I didn't sugarcoat it. All right, when I probably should have sugarcoated it. But then again, the intent is lost when you sugarcoat things.
Yeah, see, I kind of think it's not so much that that they're afraid of what you they'll wait. What am I trying to say here? It's not that you're afraid of what they'll think of you. I think it's more you don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
And you're afraid of saying something that perhaps could offend them. So you're more worried about them. That's my theory, that people are at an all-time level of compassion. Too much, probably, because they're robbing themselves of getting to know an actual real person.
Yeah, okay. And I do agree with that because you're so worried about that person's feelings, but at the same time, if you hide something or if you don't tell it the way it's supposed to be told, okay, then you're actually doing not only yourself a disservice, you're doing the person a disservice. If you really care for this person, if you really love this person, if you want this person to succeed, but you know they strayed off the path or they've gone a direction that, dude, this is not completely cool. This is not kosher at all. This isn't right. You know, it goes against whatever moral code that you and I have agreed to. Okay, but if I don't tell you that, if I don't tell someone else that, all right, they simply don't know. Oh, this person's just calling me whatever because, you know, they're not happy with the way something went down the other night or the other day. No, dude, sorry. Okay, this is the fact. Okay, and a lot of people just get that, you know, we want to tell the truth a lot of the times, and we don't do it because we don't want to hurt their feelings, but we don't want to be perceived as the bad guy either. No, we're ultimately the bad guys in the long run. No one wins because there's no consensus. There's no common ground, and really there's no respect between the two. Yeah, compassion is great. Compassion is awesome. People should have compassion. They should be compassionate, but they should also be empathetic too, okay? Reaching out and making an honest and factual connection with someone and just being sometimes brutally honest and blunt. Okay, I hung out with a bunch of my friends last year, okay, and a couple of them brought certain things to my attention, all right? I was acting in a certain way that wasn't really cool or kosher, and I was like, you know what? That's how I do things now because I did things so backwards and so repressed before that I'm no longer going to hide any of it. But at the same time, they weren't coming at me from the position where I was going to see them in a bad light. They were doing me a service because after a while, guess what? I started thinking about what they said. And to a large degree, I started toning things down slowly but surely, okay, because, you know, I respected them. I respected their opinion. I know that they love me and that they care for me, okay? But if they hadn't brought that to my attention, God knows what could have happened, all right? And because I did that, all right, I think I earned their respect too. Hopefully I did, okay? And whenever I've had a situation, they are one of the people who always had my back whenever something happened.
Yeah. And that kind of runs adrift, too, with compassion's at an all-time high, but also narcissism is at an all-time high because of the social media that we live in. We don't have to look internally anymore. We're always looking outwards. We're always pointing a camera. The only time we're looking at ourselves is when we're pointing a camera at ourselves to take a picture.
Yeah.
So you don't have much time alone anymore where you're sitting at night by yourself or even walking in the park. If you're walking now, you got headphones in. Mm-hmm. You got Facebook open. You're walking.
Yeah.
So you don't have that time to really self-evaluate anymore. No. I think that's really important, too, and we lost that with these new things.
We have to, I mean, I'm the biggest offender. I'm constantly walking my dog, and I have my phone, you know, either watching Hulu or Netflix or the news, literally streaming live. I mean, I think I've gotten pretty good at developing situational awareness where I know where a car's coming. You know, I keep my dog on the sidewalk, know when someone's coming for the most part, okay? And we do get lost in that kind of thing. We do get so plugged in to quite literally expressing ourselves. Look at me. I'm doing this. Look at me. This is what happened. Well, I think a good number of people haven't done that. And when they do, and here's a flip side to that. When someone actually does do that, like they stop doing all that kind of stuff just for a little while, then other people are like, where's this person gone? Why aren't they talking to me anymore? No, you know what? Sorry, it has nothing to do with you. That person just needs some me time, okay?
Nobody takes that, though. I don't know anybody. I've heard people say, or they'll put a post on Facebook saying, I'm deleting my Facebook.
Yeah.
And they never do it. I never see anybody actually do that.
One person of one of my friends, he did that, but that's because, you know, he had a relationship and it just didn't turn out too well. You know, and they're both my friends, so I stay out of that. I learned a long time ago to stay out of whatever's going on, you know, over here, over there. I mean, just love on them as much as possible, but whatever their situation, he actually deleted it for a long time. And then he started slowly coming back in once, you know, he was cool and all that stuff. But I think it just goes into our inherent nature as we define it now, okay? We can't stay away. We can't stop looking at the train wreck, okay? We have to sort of expose ourselves to that great degree. Even if we say we're gonna hold off for a little while or shut the page down for a while or whatever it is that we're doing, we can't stay away for long. Because on the one hand, yeah, the whole narcissism aspect, that gets blown out of control. I mean, I don't know if any subject is taboo with what we're talking about other than the ground rules you've laid down, okay? But you see some of these people out constantly in the media, always gibing and gabbing for attention, okay? And we play into that. Why? Because it's entertainment. It's funny, okay? And then to some aspect, it's a complete pure escapism. You can take any book, all right? You know, the YA books that are turned into movies or even the superhero movies, which I love, by the way. Hello, okay? They're pure escapism. But you know what? That is not as entertaining at the end of the day as seeing someone out there quite literally just completely going off the wall, saying these crazy things, okay? And quite literally, some people will just completely self-destruct and meltdown, all right? I mean, I don't want to, you know, turn this into a bash Trump type of thing, but he's a perfect example, all right? He had been laying low for years up until last year. And the guy's a marketing genius. Okay, the first thing that he does when people see him, he's coming down an elevator. The first thing out of his mouth is the garbage that came out of his mouth. Okay, and it's funny that you're bringing this up because she's an acquaintance, a really nice lady, by the way, and you know, she's very faithful. So she posts something about a woman. You know, she's getting sued because she refused this whole. I think this has been going on for a couple years now. This whole typical thing, where she refuses to serve a cake to a gay man, okay? It's tragic on all sides, right? And I can understand someone who is passionate about something and wants to defend someone else for having that same passion. But at the same time, I'm looking as like, why are you making this your fight? Why is this an important issue to you? What, aside from the faith that you guys both share, who is this person to you? Okay, I can respect her passion. I can respect her faith. I just didn't agree with everything that she said, And we got to talking about it. Of course, she's instead of making it a private conversation, she put it as a post, which, you know, I saw and I read and like, okay, well, I comment on it. Okay, but there you go. It plays into that whole attention-seeking narcissistic thing. And to a certain point, I played into it too. I'm just as, quote-unquote, guilty for perpetuating that kind of thing. Why? Because I see a whole one-sided argument. And now that I've been sucked into it, now I feel compelled to play the devil's advocate, pun intended, or to say, you know what, sorry, I don't agree with that. This is the voice of reason from my perspective. All right? You know, hopefully she won't take it as anything more than it is. You know, whatever the relationship she and I have as an acquaintance, okay, will remain. I mean, at the same time, she has her views. Great. I respect her views. We'll agree to disagree. And that's from my perspective, from where I sit and where I stand, I shouldn't change mine and she shouldn't change hers. But it's not going to stop us from having a beer together, hopefully, or even coffee.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's kind of been lost. I think that's great. That's the cool thing about social media is when people can have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think on text, though, with text, you don't have tone. So sometimes you could mean something and it just doesn't sound right to the other person. That's when things go astray. But even I notice even when people talk in person and they have a disagreement, it's angry. It's people are so passionate one way or another, and they know that they're right, and they won't budge either way.
Yeah.
I think I saw a Thomas Jefferson quote today, like, I can't remember exactly what it said, but basically we can disagree. I'm still not going to, you know, we're going to be buds afterwards.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing, of course, Jefferson would say. But, you know, and that should be okay. I mean, I do it with my friends, too. I fight with my friend Kevin constantly.
Okay.
And we get pretty heated sometimes, but, you know, the next day we can pick up the phone and, hey, you want to go grab a drink or something? Yeah, sure.
Exactly. And I got another little funny story about that. Me and my roommate, right, I live like a mile south of here. I mean, quite literally it took me barely 10 minutes to get over here. So parking was perfectly fine either. I mean, what timing? And anyway, so she and I decided to go to Caddy's one night. This was sometime late last year. And she's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, you know, I got nothing else to do. She goes, you want to go get something to eat? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's go get something to eat. So we ran into a couple friends of ours. And, I mean, I'm not naming names here because I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay, or put me in a bad spot here. But one of them, he faithfully served in the armed forces. And he's an awesome guy. And he's helped me out on a couple of occasions. So, you know, it's him, right? And, you know, he has a certain view about certain things. And then you have, I would say he's more moderate right-leaning, right? And then there's another gentleman, another friend of ours, and he was in a bike accident last year with another friend of his. And, you know, everyone was rallying behind him. He's really cool, too. But he's definitely a little bit more further to the right. That's just two guys, right? Well, the third gentleman, he's on the opposite end of that spectrum. Not crazy opposite, but definitely more. If the left has a center, he's there. He's not like center left or center right. He's like center in the left. And it was kind of funny because, you know, we're hanging out at Caddy's. There's nothing else to do on a Sunday early evening watching whatever game that we're watching. And the really far right-leaning gentleman, he's staying out of it because my other two buds, they're going at it. Okay, and they're not drunk. Okay, but, you know, you get maybe – and these guys are taller than me. Okay, I'm a short guy. They're taller than me. You get at least one beer in them, and they start getting into it. And my roommate and I, we just kept looking at each other and just kept watching this S show play out. Okay? They fundamentally disagreed on a lot of, you know, the current political topics. And for whatever reason, we're watching a football game in Caddy's, outdoor. Mm-hmm. The weather's gorgeous. I love the weather here in St. Pete. Love it. Okay? And of all the things to do, they're arguing about God knows whatever political thing that they're arguing about. And guess what? A couple days later, all right, they're hanging out again having another beer. All right? It really goes to that kind of situation where, you know what, you can be honest with someone. You can tell them what you think and what you feel. And you know for a fact this other person is not going to take it and hold it against you. What, you don't agree with me? Forget it. I'm not hanging out with you anymore. Right. I found myself in very few situations where I've literally had to cut a couple people off, all right? Because it wasn't about that. It was more about them, and that was a problem. I mean, yes, you have to take care of yourself. Yes, you have to be about yourself. Me and my money, I'm going to get mine, all that stuff. All that is great, okay? But at the same time, when you're hanging out with the people that you care about, whether they're close friends, whether they're lovers, whether they're family, you know, whoever and whenever, all right, you know, there's got to come to a point where you stop and they begin. And I had to do that to a couple people, you know, because their negativity was just infectious and just vitriol, okay? And it sucks to do that. It really does. I mean, I myself like to make as many friends as possible, hopefully permanent, lasting friendships, you know, something that's meaningful for me. Even if my life doesn't, you know, change or anything like that, if I have positive and awesome, wonderful people around me and I care for them and they care for me all the time, that's all I want and that's all they want. But when I had to make a decision to cut a couple people off in my life, I'm like, you know, this sucks, okay? Because after a while, it just wasn't about, it didn't even have to be about me. It was just completely and totally about them, their insecurities, their issues. And every time you see them or hang out with them, it's just the same old, it doesn't stop. I'm like, come on, man. Seriously? You know, we're trying to have a good time and hang out. And you just won't let stuff go. Let it go already.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Is there a particular instance you're talking about? Can you name an example?
I can name an example, yes. last year, I decided to throw myself a going-away party, quote-unquote. And I was working for a company called Freedom Health. Great company, awesome company. But admittedly, I did leave them about almost 4 weeks ago because it just wasn't working out. I made the decision kind of rash, but it had some good points, too, which we'll probably get to a little later. But rewinding back to the start of October, you know, I'm working for the health insurance company. The biggest time to make the biggest amount of enrollments and make a lot of good bank, okay, and to help people out. It's just a triple win situation. The company wins, I win, the person wins, okay? I said, I'm going to be gone from October 15th to December 7th, all right? I hope to be working 15, 14 hours a day, every single day, and rolling people up left and right, okay? So that way, you know, as soon as I'm back, I can join the party again, okay? No problem. Well, come that seven-week span, okay, it didn't materialize as I wanted it to. Yes, I was busy. Yes, I was doing a lot of driving, and I was seeing some clients, all right? But was I able to close every single deal? No, I wasn't. Was I coming home at 10, 11 p.m. because I was busy, I'm beat from work? No. What happened was there were times I came home early. There was nothing else to do. The work was done for the day, maybe the next day. And everyone else is hanging out. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit home and twiddle my thumbs and not partake? I have the ability. I have the time. Why am I going to miss out on all that? Okay, so I'm like, let's go for it. And I would join them. Okay? And one of my friends, she's no longer a friend now, okay? You know, she called me out on that. And she thought that I was being hypocritical about it. Because I was hanging out with everyone else, but not her. Well, the only time she contacted me was for me to bail her out of some kind of situation. And it wasn't convenient for me at the time to do so, all right? And I'm thinking, okay, you're only contacting me because of this so-and-so situation. You're not coming contacting me to check up on me. You haven't done so in quite a while anyway. Well, at the same time, I wasn't doing that with her either. So the fault goes on both ways. I'm big enough to admit it, or small enough to admit it, whichever one. Right, but at the same time, I was seeing someone else, and I didn't want to take my time away from that person to go bail someone else out. So finally, and she just, this whole long text and all this other stuff, I go, you know what, I'm sorry, but we're done. I don't want to be your friend anymore. You're constantly negative. You're constantly throwing stuff. You're constantly holding on to this thing, and every time I see you or hang out with you, it's the same old, okay? This is my life, all right? So, and everyone has the right to do this. And they should expect nothing less. This is my life, all right? I get to invite who I want to invite. Why? Because I like this person. I want to get to know more of this person. The only way I can get to that point is if I open the door and say, hey, come on in. Kick off your shoes and let's have a beer. And I know we're talking about beer here, but kick off your shoes, grab a Coke, you know, let's watch some TV, let's talk, let's get to know each other, whatever the case may be, okay? I got to open up that door. They got to open up that door. But if every time I open up that door and it's not welcoming like it was with her, Why should I continue to walk through it? Why should anyone?
Right.
All right. So at the same time, I had to, I stepped back from that, and I like this for my personal health, for my personal well-being. I need nothing but positivity around me. I'm sorry. Slam the door.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do that. I mean, I think everybody has to do that every now and then with friends. It's unfortunate. I mean, I've done it with friends. I've had friends do it to me, for that matter, too. My best friend in high school, I was kind of like a loner, wallflower. That was like my only friend I had. I used to spend every day playing basketball, you know, at his house after school. Saw him at graduation, and then didn't see him again. He didn't answer my phone calls anymore. And then I heard from somebody else that he said, well, once you spend every day with somebody for 8 years, you just kind of get sick of them. And I was like, whoa. And he's a, you know, 18-year-old kid, so I don't take it offensively anymore, but that hurt my feelings, you know, at first. But I've done it to people, too, where they're just, it's just enough. You know, it happens. I kind of understand, too, even if that is the case with him. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And it sucks to be put in that kind of position. It really does. I mean, and sometimes I see it with a couple of people that I know, you know, from way back in the day, you know, where they had an awesome friendship or an awesome relationship, and then it just deteriorates for whatever reason. But at the same time, you know, if a situation like that, from my perspective, that's really intense. I mean, that's an intense friendship right there, okay? That's akin to being in a relationship with somebody, almost romantic. And I'm not trying to imply or say anything, you know, but that's what it could be like. You know, people could be really intense with each other.
Yeah, people that you hang out with a lot, definitely.
Yeah. And then, you know, if something sour happens, you know, after a while and someone closes the door, you know, for me, I try to, if I was in your position, I would probably be like, you know, what the F? What happened? All right? No word whatsoever what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, I would be bummed about it.
Yeah, sure, it hurts your feelings, but, you know, at the same time, nobody really owes you anything either, and you don't really owe anybody anything
That's very true, and the thing about it is that when you think of it from that perspective, now go segue into thinking from that person's perspective, the whole empathy aspect. Well, you know what? There was something about me that they didn't like anymore for whatever reason. Something set them off to make this decision. So maybe they're just protecting themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I did with my other friend. I had no choice. From my perspective, I had to protect myself.
Definitely. Author Carlos Tamarit. Did I say it right?
You got one of the ways right.
Okay.
Congratulations,
good.
Will.
Good. Thank you. is here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. I want to talk about your book. You wrote a book that's available on Amazon. Tell me about that. It's called The Miracle Man, Dawn of the Age of Heroes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I don't know where to begin. So basically, oh, here's one of those little things there. Ah. The book is about, if you're going to, I guess, call it a tagline or a blurb. So I took a seminar this past Saturday with a gentleman, Nathan Van Koop, and he's a local St. Pete author, all right? Science fiction writer, loves time travel. And he did a 3-hour seminar at the, oh, good Lord, I forgot the place. But it's a nonprofit, anyway, and basically what the book is about is a very bored CEO who tries to turn himself into a superhero to justify and defend a bullied girl's faith in superheroes. Okay, and the reason why I wrote that book is a long time ago, and this is when I was with my ex, and we were still living in Gainesville. I was combing through the news stories, and I came across this one girl's story. She's an actual person. And she was bullied for believing in Star Wars, okay? And that just inspired me. You know, the story isn't about her. She is a catalyst for the main character, okay? But I asked the question, like, you know, what was if someone had the ability and the means and the funding to try to intercede on this girl's behalf, right? So the main character, his name is Bradley Edward Jr., all right? He's in his mid-30s, you know, slowly approaching his 40s. He's had everything handed to him in his entire life. Average guy, average kid, you know, type of thing like that. You know, tall, broad, whatever. He inherits his father's company, a big weapons and support manufacturer for the U.S. Armed Forces, okay? And all he does when he goes to work every day is, excuse me, he comes into the office whenever time he wants. He starts reading his comic books, all right, and his self-aware AI tablet, you know, does plays cartoons or the news or whatever the case may be. That's what he does every single day. He doesn't run the company. The company is run for him by his assistant, who I affectionately nicknamed the corporate babysitter. And her name is Leslie Browning. Leslie Brown, I apologize. But anyway, the thing is that what spurs him to action is that when his AI tablet, Flip Flop, comes across the story of a girl in a similar situation, she's being bullied for believing in superheroes. You know, she's sitting in the counselor's office when she's 7 years old, and the counselor, Mrs. Dana, she goes to the girl, she goes, Alice, all right, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Alice is like, oh, that's easy. I want to be a hero. And the counselor's like, oh, this is going to be easy. You know, I've been pulling teeth from kids all morning, you know, figuring out what they want to be when they grow up and blah, 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 blah. This will be easy. Okay, so Alice, you want to be a hero. What kind of a hero? I want to be a hero like Wonder Woman. I want to be a hero like Captain America. Okay, well, what about a firefighter? Nope. What about a police officer? Nope. What about a doctor? Nope. And this goes on and on and on. And finally, Mrs. Daniels, she's like, and she's putting her head in her hands trying to figure this girl out. It's like, what's going on with this chick? You know, they're heroes. And Alice, from her 7-year-old perspective, she goes, well, a policeman is a policeman. A firefighter puts out fires. A doctor works in a hospital. You know, very simplistic point of view for a child. Okay? I think all children do that. And, you know, she shows her Wonder Woman doll. I want to be a hero. And Mrs. Dana finally gets it into her head. Like, this girl's actually serious. So, and guess who's outside is a bully, you know, sneering and making fun of the girl and taking pot shots at her mom. And then Alice, you know, she just runs out the door crying. Okay? The bully, Rex, is sent to the principal's office. Mrs. Dana tries to catch Alice, but Alice is already gone. This is the story that Bradley comes across. And he, a superhero fanatic, all right, he's grown up reading comic books his entire life. All right? He takes it upon himself, like, you know what? No one gets to bully someone like this and get away with it. I'm going to prove to her and him and everybody else that superheroes exist. So the entire story is him trying to turn himself into a superhero to show off to this girl. But over the course of the story, all right, he actually grows up himself. All right, he goes from being a lazy guy to someone else. He's no longer lazy. He's taking charge. He's growing up mentally and emotionally. Okay, the story is really about him taking ownership of something and taking a lead position on something. Like one of the things that he does in the book, all right, is that when he formally starts taking over the company, he decides that it's no longer going to be supporting the military anymore. He's like, we're not going to be making weapons anymore. I mean, I love the military. I respect them and all this other stuff. I'll throw money their way, but we're not going to develop any weapons anymore to harm people. We're going to take our know-how, our technology, our expertise, and we're going to turn me into a superhero. All right? This has to be something to be used to inspire others, to be in service of others. He gets so behind this idea that he's quite literally willing to put himself in harm's way time and again, all right, just to prove a point. And I like to go into his childhood. I go into his childhood on a couple of occasions where he dresses up as Superman, or he dresses up as Batman, or the Flash, or whatever his favorite superhero at the time was. You know, I put a little story where he's dressed as Batman, and he tries to stop the bank robbers, which are really just delivery men, and his rope gets hooked onto the truck. And, you know, then the truck is quite literally dragging him throughout the neighborhood, you know, through the family bushes, you know, destroying some property, until finally he flies up into the air and lands into a tree and then falls down into a bush. And every time he's gotten himself into a scrape like that, he's shooting his hand up in a fist saying, I'm okay. And even as an adult, he does the exact same thing, okay? So I keep putting him through his paces because it's funny to see from my perspective. It's hilarious, all right? But I also put in his motivations behind doing that. His father has tried to firmly plant his feet on the ground and instance a sense of realism with his son. His mother has constantly encouraged his antics, all right, not to the point where he hurts himself, but to the point where he believes in himself, okay? So he has grown up with these two polar opposites, all right, to a great degree, and he leans towards his mother's side. Because it's convenient for him, because he loves being lost in that type of thing. Unfortunately, when he was young, his mother passed away to cancer. So I put that moment in the book, All right, you know, there's a scene where she's telling him about the cancer. You know, she's like, come here, son, I need to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling him about the monster. And he's like, well, where's the, he stands up on the bed, you know, he's like, where's the monster? I'll whoop his behind or whatever. And she goes, no, son, no, the monster's inside me.
Yeah, a lot of real life stuff going on in there.
Well, admittedly, you know, I wrote another book a long time ago, and my ex, she read it, and she said, don't ever publish this again because this is garbage. And I'm like, you're right. And she was right. She was right. The very few people who read it and got back to me are like, dude, you must have not been thinking right. I'm like, you're right. You know, I like the characters, I like the story, but I got to shelve it and redo it later on, which I came up with another idea about it as I was driving home earlier today. But one of the things that my ex told me, all right, she's like, you have a tendency to put a lot of yourself in here, and there's too much of you in here. And she was right. I wrote that book for myself thinking that it would apply to anyone else or people, it would resonate with anyone else. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
This book is similar to that. You know, I put what I knew, all right, into Miracle Man. But at the same time, I wanted people to resonate with it. I wanted people to resonate with the idea of, for instance, the whole bullying aspect, okay? Yeah, I don't know if the timing is off or whatever the case may be, but so be it, okay? Even though, again, earlier to our conversation about being out there and the whole attention thing, attention-seeking thing, while that could be perceived as a bad thing or a negative thing from one hand, it can actually be a good thing from a different perspective. Grabbing attention and drawing it to yourself for something worthy. I don't think that's too bad. Until the person starts believing their own hype and puts themselves on a pedestal, then you need to knock them down a peg or two. But I wrote this story because seeing and reading about someone else in trouble, okay, did for me what Alice fictionally did for Bradley. It was like light a fire somewhere. And I started writing the story in pure positive terms. Okay, I wouldn't write in the story if I was in anything less than happy or motivated. I mean, if I was feeling bad about something, no. I mean, the idea is whenever you write, you always write every single day. But, and I believe in that, I should do that. But for this book, that's why it took me 3 years to write. I go, no, I don't want to be in a position where I write something and it comes out too dark or unintentionally negative. So I always try to put it or write it in such a way where there was nothing but positivity throughout, even if I had to go pulling on the heartstrings. And I've done that a couple times throughout the piece. I mean, when I first started writing the book, I already saw the last scene. All right? This is at the end of the book where Bradley is in a situation where Alice quite literally has to grab his head and give him a kiss on the forehead. Okay? Letting him know that everything is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, if people want to know the specifics, I encourage them to buy the book.
Which you can buy, Miracle Man, Dawn of the Age of Heroes, available on Amazon, Kindle, Goodreads, Apple iBooks, and Barnes & Noble Nook. You got social media? We're about out of time already, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Awesome. The social media, I do have a Facebook page for it. So it's going to be facebook.com/Miracle Man Series, all one word. I've also put together a WordPress blog. I'm working on putting together a Kickstarter campaign and a website for it. So right now, the main starting off point for everybody who's curious, check out the Facebook page. I try to update it as much as possible. I told a couple of people that I'm going to be here tonight with you, Will, and I thought that was actually kind of cool. I love it. And there's more to come. There's more to come. Slowly but surely, it's going to happen.
Very cool, man. Carlo Tamarit. Say it the way you say it.
Carlo Tamarit.
Carlo Tamarit. Thank you very much for coming to the Homemade Broadcast. Check out facebook.com/HMB Radio, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Find me on Twitter, home_made_man. Same on Instagram. Check out HMBRadio.com for more podcasts. Carlo, thanks again, man.
Thanks a lot, Will. I appreciate it.
You got it.